Afternoon, everybody. This is the Wednesday, June 14th, 2023 afternoon session of the Portland City Council. Keelan, welcome back. Please call the roll.
Good afternoon. Ryan.
Here.
Gonzalez.
Here.
Maps.
Here.
Rubio.
Here.
Wheeler.
Here. We'll hear from legal counsel on the rules of order and quorum. Welcome.
Thank you, Mayor. Welcome to Portland City Council. To testify before council in person or virtually, you must sign up in advance on the council agenda at www.portland.gov/council/agenda. Information on engaging with council can be found on the council clerk's webpage. Presiding officer preserves order and decorum during city council meetings. Presiding officer determines the length of testimony. Individuals generally have 3 minutes to testify unless otherwise stated. A timer will indicate when your time is done. Disruptive conduct such as shouting, refusing to conclude your testimony when your time is up, or interrupting others' testimony or council deliberations will not be allowed. If you cause a disruption, a warning will be given. Further disruption will result in ejection from the meeting. Anyone who fails to leave once ejected is subject to arrest for trespass. Additionally, council may take a short recess and reconvene virtually. Your testimony today should address the matter being considered. When testifying, please state your name for the record. Your address is not necessary. Disclose if you are a lobbyist. If you are representing an organization, please identify it. For testifiers joining virtually, please unmute yourself once the council clerk calls your name. Thank you.
Thank you. Could you please read, Keelan, items 503, 504, 505, 506, and 507?
Item 503, conduct a proposed use hearing on state shared revenue. Item 504, certify that certain services are provided by the city to establish eligibility for state shared revenues. Item 505, approve accepting funds from the state of Oregon under the state revenue sharing program for fiscal year beginning July 1st, 2023 and ending June 30, 2024. Item 506, adopt the annual budget of the city and establish appropriations for the fiscal year beginning July 1, 2023 and ending June 30, 2024. And item 507, approve levying taxes for the city for the fiscal year beginning July 1, 2023 and ending June 30, 2024.
Very good. Thank you. Good afternoon, colleagues, and welcome. Today, we will take the final series of steps and votes as part of the adoption of the fiscal year 23-24 budget as prescribed by Oregon state law. Before we get started, Budget Director Tim Grew is going to provide an overview of today's proceedings. Good afternoon, Director Grew. It's good to see you.
Good afternoon. Thank you, Mr. Mayor, and good afternoon to the council members. For the record, my name is Timothy Grew, Director of the City Budget Office. As the mayor mentioned, we are here today to adopt the budget for fiscal year 23-24. As there are a number of procedural steps we need to go through, as Keelan just read for the record, we have five items in front of you as part of this process. The first three items relate to acceptance and use of the state shared revenues in our budget. Revenues shared by the state of Oregon consists of cigarette, liquor, and retail marijuana taxes. We start off with a proposed use hearing on state shared revenues. Next, council considers a resolution certifying the city meets the eligible requirements of state shared revenues. And third, council considers an ordinance accepting the state shared revenues. And I should point out that this ordinance is time sensitive and will need to be adopted at the session today. The fourth item council will consider today is the adopted budget ordinance. This is the item that generates the most interest during this hearing and is likely to be the focus of our time together today. The fifth and final item council will consider today is an ordinance levying taxes. And similar to the state revenue sharing, this is time sensitive and needs to have action at your session today. With that overview, we can begin with our first item, the state shared revenue hearing. Mr. Mayor, can you now read the statement into the record for the state shared revenue hearing?
I am now opening a hearing to discuss proposed uses of state revenue sharing. This hearing is being held by the City Council of Portland, Oregon, in compliance with the provisions of the state revenue sharing regulations, ORS 221.770. It is to allow citizens to comment on the possible use of these funds in conjunction with the annual budget process. As proposed for council adoption, the fiscal year 2023-24 budget anticipates receipts totaling $24,322,559 from state revenue sharing under ORS 221.770. As has been the case in prior years, it's proposed that this revenue be allocated in equal parts to support fire prevention as well as police patrol services. Is there anyone here today who wishes to be heard on this particular subject? Keelan, do we have anybody signed up?
No.
Is there anyone present who would like to testify on this matter? Very good. I'm now closing this hearing to discuss proposed uses of state revenue sharing. I'll hand this back to Director Grew to provide an overview of the eligibility for state revenue resolution. This is resolution 504.
This next step is for council to consider a resolution to certify that the city meets the eligible requirements to receive state shared revenues. State law requires that we provide a number of services to be eligible for state shared revenues, and this resolution certifies that we do so. The services certified by the City of Portland are police protection, fire prevention, street construction, maintenance and lighting, sanitary sewers, storm sewers, planning, zoning, and subdivision control and water. Mayor, please call for testimony.
Keelan, has anyone signed up to testify on this resolution?
No one signed up.
Please call the roll.
Ryan.
Aye.
Gonzalez.
Aye.
Maps.
Which ordinance are we voting
this
on?
This is the resolution. This is the state shared resolution.
Is this 505 or 504?
This is 504.
Aye.
Rubio.
Aye.
Wheeler.
Aye. The resolution is adopted. Director Grew, I'll hand it back. Please provide an overview of the state shared revenue ordinance. This is emergency ordinance 505.
Thank you, Mayor. The third and final step in accepting the state shared revenue is for council to consider and vote upon an ordinance to accept that state shared revenues. Mr. Mayor, please ask for testimony.
Keelan, has anyone signed up to testify on emergency ordinance 505?
No one signed up.
Please call the roll.
Ryan.
Aye.
Gonzalez.
Aye.
Maps.
Aye.
Rubio.
Aye.
Wheeler.
Aye. The ordinance is adopted. Director Grew, back to you to provide an overview of the adopted budget ordinance as filed. This is 506.
Thank you. Now that we have held a hearing and certified that we are qualified, we just need to take action to accept revenue. Mr. Mayor, could you ask for testimony?
Tim, we just did that. We're on.
I'm sorry.
We're on the budget ordinance. They went so fast.
Excuse me, please.
Wow. Please keep
that
up.
That was very fast.
Please.
Okay. Excuse me on that. The next item is the adopted budget ordinance. And it is this item that generates the most interest, as I indicated earlier. I will open this item by describing at a high level the various changes from the Budget Committee approved budget to the adopted budget as filed. I will then ask for a motion and second on these technical changes to ensure full transparency with state and local budget law as the council takes its final action to adopt the budget today. Next, the mayor will entertain motions from council to amend the budget beyond the changes notated in the original filing documents. Then the mayor will call for public testimony. At the conclusion of testimony, council will vote on individual amendments if there are amendments today. This item has been filed without an emergency clause, which means under the current status, the final vote will be continued until next week. Following public testimony and voting on other amendments, council may choose to consider further amending the ordinance to add an emergency clause in order to vote on the budget adoption today. I will now briefly describe at a high level the changes in the adopted budget as filed, which are changes reflected in Attachment B, also known as the change memo. These changes are very much technical changes to the budget that were made by bureaus in advance of the filing of the adopted budget, as is the standard practice to give bureaus time for final adjustments. These changes result in a net reduction in the overall budget of $7.2 million, and these are summarized in the following categories. Utility rate changes. Bureaus of Environmental Services and Water Bureau have increased revenues based upon the revised utility rates as adopted in late May 2023. These are revisions to restore rate revenues supporting the RAMP program. Next category is transfer and programming reallocations between funds. The Parks General Fund, 2020 Local Operation Fund, and Capital Construction Fund are each adjusted to reflect revised planned spending, receipt of additional program dollars, such as PCEF, and by PCEF, I mean Portland Clean Energy Fund, and program-specific fees. The Bureau is making these adjustments in the 2020 local operating levy and the general fund based upon revised projections for levy eligible staffing and operational expenditures within the general fund. The next category is for the Bureau, for the Housing Bureau, the Tax Increment Financing Reimbursement Fund, which is reduced to match the amount expected to be dispersed in FY23-24 and to meet intergovernmental agreement allocation from Prosper Portland. The next category is adjustments to interagencies between bureaus and the Office of Management and Finance Internal Service Funds. OMF has balancing entries in the internal service funds, which are based upon requests for specific additions in these funds, including the technical services, facility services, and city fleet operating funds. If there are no further questions on these adjustments, or hearing no objections, I will ask council for a motion and second to accept the adjustments and attachment B, which is revenues, and attachment C, which is expenditures.
So moved.
We have a motion from Commissioner Ryan to accept the adjustments and attachments B and C. Can I get a second?
Second.
Commissioner Rubio seconds. Any further discussion?
Is that good? Mr. Mayo, now I'll ask, turn it over back to you to see if there are any amendments.
Very good. Colleagues will now entertain amendments to the budget, if any. This could include budget notes as well as program offers. Financial amendments to programs should note the amount, the bureau, the purpose, and the funding source. Any amendment or budget note should be moved and seconded for consideration. Then we will hold public testimony before discussing and voting on the specific amendments. Does anyone have any particular amendments they'd like to make at this time? Very good. Then at this point, we will take testimony on the budget as filed. Keenan, has anyone signed up this afternoon to testify?
We've had three people sign up. First up is Kevin Machis.
Great. 3 minutes each. Please name for the record if you wouldn't mind.
Thank you. My name is Kevin Matches. The mayor's budget indicates that the Portland Fire and Police Disability and Retirement Bureau will consume over 30% of all property taxes collected by the city this year. This should be a high priority for anyone discussing tax burden. I am concerned that mistaken facts and inadequate information have been given to council based on the June 1 council meeting when FPDR's funding policy came up. Next slide. It was stated by staff to council that the cost would certainly be in the billions of dollars to transition off of the current pay-as-you-go funding policy. This is not true. The way to estimate a specific cost for an alternative funding policy is to look at a specific time horizon and see whether costs are higher or lower than under current policy. Take a long enough time horizon, and any alternative funding policy would reduce costs. I recommend that the city request its actuary provide an analysis of cost savings to allow city council to be well informed about the feasibility of abandoning PAYGO. This analysis has not been requested by the city since 2005. At that time, actuary Milliman confirmed that pay-as-you-go is, quote, the most expensive financing alternative for taxpayers, end quote. Next slide. An example alternative funding policy shown in red would be expected to save taxpayers $2.5 billion relative to the current policy shown in green over the plan's life. But what about over a shorter time horizon? Does the cost of transitioning off of PAYGO reach into the billions? No, it only takes 10 years for this alternative policy to begin reducing annual costs. Cumulative costs never even reach $400 million, nowhere close to multiple billions. Extend the horizon out further in time, after 22 years, this alternative policy begins to break even. If short-term costs are too high, these could be further moderated by the use of pension obligation bonds. Next slide. Is it possible for existing PAYGO pensions to transition off of this funding policy? I can point you to history. Many plans have abandoned PAYGO. In fact, the only PAYGO pension in the United States that did not abandon it is Portland. Next slide. Independent national experts can talk about specific transition experiences, but they can only engage with the city by invitation. Thank you.
Thank you. I appreciate your testimony. Have you had the opportunity to get in front of the board?
That's correct. I have presented similar analysis to the board, and at one board meeting, one of the trustees did make a motion to get a quote for the cost savings analysis I mentioned, but there was no second, and so the motion died.
I appreciate where you're going with this. Thank you. Thank you for being here. Yeah, Commissioner Gonzalez.
So conceptually, just want to take a step back. So a firefighter is hired tomorrow, right? They no longer enroll in PERS. They don't enroll in the old program. So you're proposing to take folks that are enrolled in the old program and encourage them to move over to PERS and others. So I just want to make sure I understand what you're pushing for here, given that we are not enrolling, at least on the fire side, new enrollees in the program.
No, so this is a city-run pension system. Mm-hmm. So what I'm encouraging is to change the charter, because the charter currently defines the funding policy. And so what I'm saying is that the city should utilize a comprehensive actuarial funding policy rather than this pay-as-you-go funding policy that has been abandoned by other pension plans in the United States.
And I just want to call out with time, right? This becomes, because new enrollees will not be enrolling in the program, this will die off, for lack of a better term, at some point in the city's future.
Yeah, so that chart I showed, the red versus the green, you know, shows you how long that takes to happen, right? So there are still police and firefighters working today who are accruing under the old plan.
Yep.
And so those people not only have to retire, but they have to eventually pass away. And then the plan would finally disappear.
And what you're advocating would be something that would incentivize them to move over to PERS, or what would be, or that you would just change the city charter in terms of the funding mechanism? How would you get folks in the old system that continue to, how would you get them to get off of that system?
They wouldn't have to get off the system, right? So I didn't mention anything about benefit policy. I'm only talking about funding policy in my comment. So it the only thing it impacts is when the money goes into the plan, and therefore how much it costs for property taxpayers.
I'd like to hear more on it. I mean, I continue to be interested in it. Again, I think this becomes eventually a self-solving problem for the city of Portland. It just takes a long time. So that was a decision made years ago on how to address this issue. But I appreciate your testimony.
Thank you. Any further questions? Thanks for being here.
Next up, we have Karen Williams.
Welcome.
Karen was planning to join online. I don't see them. Karen, is Karen Williams here? Okay, we'll move on to Robin Castro online.
Welcome.
Hello, everyone. My name is Robin Castro, and Karen Williams, the previous missing public commenter, is actually a co-chair along with me at the Portland Utility Board. And so I just wanted to say good afternoon to all of our elected leaders here today. As a co-chair myself and representative of PUB, I just wanted to provide reflections and follow up to our prior testimony during the budget process. Appointed by council as volunteer community board, our members spend hundreds of hours each year providing independent community oversight regarding policy, operations, and budgetary decisions for the Water Bureau and Bureau of Environmental Services, as well as advising council on how to navigate the firsthand impacts of utility rates. At the May 24th rate hearing, one of our ex officio members shared testimony written by and approved on behalf of the board. And that hearing was a unique moment of alignment between the Utility Bureau's leadership, the public, and labor representatives. Unfortunately, the discussion and response to our testimony focused on a reaction to word choice and diverted from the true content of our testimony and recommendations. As a board, reflecting on the testimony, we identified the following statement as both the source of controversy and an important point of intentional word selection. We stated that a process that does not allow for true engagement and rushes the decision while centering limited interests is classic white supremacist culture and contrary to the values of anti-racism in decision-making. And the board's criticism was and is about the process. After many months of development, engagement, and public dialogue, proposals for utility rates changed significantly with only a few days of notice. And our objection is not directly the decisions made, nor a personal statement about the people making the decisions, but rather that a decision cannot be fully informed if it lacks adequate time for transparency and thorough evaluation of impacts, while also eliminating opportunity for authentic engagement with the public. And we believe this approach is contrary to the goals of democracy and our core city stated values. The board understands that racial equity is explicitly intertwined with economics, and we acknowledge their intersectionality is critical in navigating the budget as a moral document. We remain concerned about the increase in deferred maintenance and the impact on labor and workforce equity with the cuts required by this adopted budget. And we just want to remind everyone, water is our most valuable resource, so we must make sure that we're investing in it as a necessity, not just when it's profitable. And you can expect the board to continue to engage with the bureaus to stay informed on effectively implementing the adopted rates while attempting to mitigate any negative impacts. Thank you for the opportunity for the feedback. Sincerely, Robin Castro, Pub Co-Chair.
Thank you. And did we have one other person signed up, Keelan?
That completes us.
Very good. All right. We did not have additional amendments, Council. So now we'll vote on the motion to accept the adjustments in attachments B and C as filed. That was the motion made by Commissioner Ryan and seconded by Commissioner Rubio. Is there any additional comment or question? Commissioner Mapps?
Just a process question. I think I'm lost again. So we voted on 50,
so this is to incorporate the change memo attachments B and C, which are technical amendments, into the final budget document.
Okay, so this is the equivalent of an amendment to 506. Is that one way to think about it?
That is just a, I'll defer to the attorney, but this is just to final approval of those two, which will be submitted with our budget.
Which ordinance are we voting on? What number?
We're voting on the adopted budget.
Number 506, I believe.
Yeah, this is non-emergency ordinance 506. The change memo is part of a process, and it's a good question, Commissioner Mapp. So at the very end of the budget process, bureaus are allowed to make technical adjustments to the budget that don't rise to the level of policy decisions, but they are, as we can see in attachment B, very narrow technical adjustments to the budget that have to be made prior to the adoption of the final budget.
So we're essentially adopting attachments B and C?
Yes.
Oh, got it. Thank you.
Mayor, I'm sorry to interrupt
the
conversation. We actually had the other testifier just join.
Oh, okay. Let's finish Commissioner Mapp's question just so he doesn't lose his train of thought.
So to summarize my understanding of it, we are essentially we're adopting the changes in attachments B and C on ordinance 506.
Yes.
Got it. Thank you. And I appreciate your indulgence.
Commissioner Ryan,
are you good?
Yeah. All right, good. Why don't we hear from the last individual? 3 minutes, please. Name for the record. Keelan, go ahead and call.
Thank you. Karen Williams.
Welcome, Karen.
Thank you, City Council and Mayor. Actually, my name is Karen Williams, and for the record, I am the co-chair of the Portland Utility Board. I have no additional testimony to provide as I was signing in. I understand my fellow co-chair Robin Castro was just finishing up our testimony. We just both wanted to be available for questions.
Appreciate that very much. Thank you. Very good. We will now vote on the motion to accept adjustments and attachments B and C as filed. Any further discussion on the amendment? Seeing none, please call the roll.
Ryan.
Aye.
Gonzalez.
Aye.
Maps.
Aye.
Rubio.
Aye.
Wheeler.
Aye. The amendment is added. So now the question is whether or not we add an emergency clause to this. And so can I just get a sense from the council if we're all okay adding an emergency clause before calling for a motion? If not, we can obviously continue this hearing to next week.
Mr. Mayor, we should not attach an emergency clause.
Very good. Then this item is continued to second reading as amended. And I believe that completes.
No,
we have 507, correct?
Sure.
Okay. I will now hand it over to Director Grew to explain this last item, Emergency Ordinance 507. It's the tax levies ordinance.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. We now have this one final item to consider to fully adopt the budget, although the budget will be officially adopted next week, but I'm certain we do need to get a vote on the council today on our tax levies. This action includes the levy amounts for property taxes accruing to the general fund, the Parks 2020 local option levy fund, the recently voted renewed Children's Investment Fund, and the Fire and Police Disability and Retirement Fund. It also includes our property tax levies for the general obligation bonded debt and 6 urban renewal areas. Council considers and votes upon the ordinance levy taxes for the City of Portland for fiscal year beginning July 1, 2023, and directs the City Budget Director to submit said tax levy and other certifications to the county assessors in Multnomah County, Clackamas County, and Washington County. Mayor, I'll send it back to you.
All right, very good. Keelan, has anybody signed up to testify on the tax levies ordinance?
No one signed up.
Very good. Please call the roll.
Ryan.
Yeah, I'd like to just take this moment to thank the voters for their overwhelming support for renewing the children's levy. That investment is included within this ordinance. I vote aye.
Gonzalez.
Aye.
Maps.
Aye.
Rubio.
Aye.
Wheeler.
Aye. The ordinance is adopted and we are adjourned. Thank you. Sure.